Zalzi Lulup Tate, Robbie Vessels, the Lulup. I know it wasn't good for you guys on Saturday, but this is about the Lions. 4 from 6, Shield winners. The Fidelity Secure Drive Lions. The moment they got a sponsor, they won some silverware.
Yeah.
Some people tell me the Shield means nothing. I disagree. In the context of bragging rights, in the context of a little more, those four South African teams, they don't like to lose to one another. 4 wins from 6. Great effort. And I thought in the way they fashioned that win, playing 13 on 15 in a last quarter where the Stormers had everything, Morne van der Berg, Krappies doing the business. A shout out to the Lions. And I know you've always been an Oak who's backed the Lions through the years and saying they've got something in them that is quite special. The fact that they play at a big stadium that never gets filled also adds to this lure that they can't play. But really, if anyone was going to win it, for me outside the Stormers, you got to say, I feel very happy for those Oaks.
No, absolutely. I thought they played really good rugby. I warned before the game, this is a dangerous team. I said that they play smart rugby, which they did. They were physical. They had skill. They took the right decisions at the right time. And they showed great, great grit and guts to hang in there and defend their line with 13 players. I thought it was a really top, top performance. I thought they were deserved winners, and kudos to them for clinching the SA Shield. For me, I think that is the trophy you want, right? You want to be the SA Shield champs. If you're a South African rugby supporter, you want to be able to say, anytime anybody criticizes your team, hey, who won the SA Shield? So well done to them, well done to their supporters and all their stakeholders. Great job.
Well, it's Curry Cup strength v strength. 6 games, home and away, against the 3 other best. It's the Lions. Die Lulup, die Lus. A crowd of about 15,000. Apparently 12,000 were Stormers supporters. But 15,000 in the context of what normally goes there, which is 3,000 to 4,000. It was a good vibe. Everyone who was there tells me the grandstand was packed. And I look at that Lions side and the maturity we've seen in the last 2 games against the Sharks and against the Stormers. Look, the Bulls were very good in beating them. After 20 minutes, there was nothing going on in that game until the Bulls kind of let loose, a bit like they did against the Sharks.
Mm.
But you've always known you've got a chance with the Lions because of the helter-skelter approach. And a lot of good, intelligent international teams come here and they win at Ellis Park because they just play percentages against them and let the Lions self-destruct.
Mm.
From my perspective, the Stormers were the ones who self-destructed. The Lions did the clever work, and key to that, Morne van der Berg is probably playing the best rugby he's played in terms of maturity. And the old Saxe Maartens veteran who's been around, Chris Smith, he went to the Bulls, did some great work there for Jack White, won a Curry Cup as well when he was there just after COVID. Went and played in the second division in France and has come back. And he really has brought some calm and stability to that Lions back line. Love the midfield that's outside of them, Jan Bronson Mills and Henk van Wyk.
Yeah.
The speeches they got on the wings. And obviously, Kieran Horn at fullback. Paul Boys high as well. So a lot of those Origin guys coming from the Western Cape. You can see I'm clutching at straws. I'm trying to claim Saxe, Paul Boys, everything to say. Indirectly, it may have even been a Western Cape win, but it wasn't.
Yeah.
Monument Wood and a lot of others there. A couple of Cares boys in there. Just great win for the rugby landscape, but the intelligence they played with, fundamentally, you analyze them a lot like you do every team. You can speak a bit more liberally about them now because you don't play them again in the league stages.
Yeah.
What has changed? What makes them so good now?
So just before we get into that, a guy you mentioned who I think deserves some credit, probably doesn't get a lot of credit, is PJ Boerter, at the hooker. I think he's really, really come on in leaps and bounds in the last season or so. He's a monus old boy.
Football,
and he's playing some great rugby, yeah. So the Lions, like you said, just did the fundamentals well. They controlled the field when they needed to. They've got a nice little mix of a long kicking game and hitting grass and these attacking kicks that creates a bit of chaos. They showed great sort of resolve on defense. I think our high error rate definitely brought their defense into the mix and their sort of transition attack. But they made the most of it, mate. And then when the heat came and they had to defend with 13 players and then it was gut check time, then it's less about technical and system and it's more about heart. They definitely brought it to the party. So, they've got some players who are really taking strides forward. Based on that performance, you'd say there's a couple of guys there who maybe deserve a look at the next level, and they're playing really, really good rugby. So fantastic.
We talk about motivation, and they always say when you look at a team that is happy, team that's doing well, look at the bench. When they're celebrating, when they're anxious with 5 minutes to go, you know there's a lot of feeling, there's a lot of emotion in that team. But a bloke who has really picked up his game since he moved north has been Angelo Davids. He's looking more like that kid who played at sevens. He's looking in far better conditioning. You know, an environment change sometimes is the best thing off the field. I'm not talking about him playing for Province or the Stormers. But just the chase. I mean, look, he's not the tallest oak. How the hell did he get up there? great collect, offload, try time, wonderful kick from Krappies. And then the Anton Dupont, a little chip over the top. Sasha struggled to hold it. Chaos again, Henke van Wyk, doing what any good midfielder should do, the hack through and the score. And that was 14 points. And that effectively was something the Stormers on the scoreboard could never come back from. They just couldn't get within that 14. They had three times held up, one disallowed, plenty opportunities.
I think the worst you can do against the Lions is get into chase mode. That really gives them teeth, right? You just got to almost pretend like a 0-0, build an innings and claw your way back into the game like that. I think if you try and chase it through tries, you're probably not going to end up on the right end of the scoreboard.
But I mean, give dues to this Lions team. 4 wins out of 6. Let's see how those wins were fashioned. They did the double over the Sharks home and away.
Yep.
They beat the Stormers on Saturday. They demolished the Bulls team at Loftus in the first one. Got demolished in the second one. It was like absolute two contrasts in terms of results. Pretty much like a 100-point swing.
Yeah.
And we're in the game with 2-3 minutes to go in Cape Town, when the Stormers were kind of like holding on and the Lions were a converted try away from drawing the game. So they've earned the right, 4 from 6. They've
no
earned
doubt.
The right to be the South African Shield winners and the champions. Yeah. They're in the top 8 of the URC going into this 2-week break. The Stormers do play the Bulls on the 14th. That's in a fortnight's time. And for those who don't know, that's not part of official round number 13. That's because the Stormers Bulls doubleheader was pushed back. We were meant to play the Bulls on the 26th of December in Pretoria, and that would have attracted about 12 people.
Yeah.
Because everyone was in Cape Town or in Amanus at that stage. So that's been played on the 14th. There's a couple of other games to make up the rounds. And then from the 21st, Six Nations is over. We're going to 2 big weekends of URC rugby, and then we're going to last 16, last 8, the first 2 weeks of April, and then it's back full on to URC, and then semi-finals, first week of May, back to URC, finals, last week of May, back to URC. I hope you didn't have your earphones on and play your brains out.
Yeah.
So this, we keep on talking about this competition. It's a momentum killer just because of scheduling, as opposed to necessarily what you're doing. That storm was when they went 8 from 8, was 6 from 6. Then there was the break. They managed to get it to 8 from 8. They've played 3 games in basically 2 months in between that. It's not an easy competition to master. And then a side like the Bulls, 7 defeats in all competitions, finally got it right. Uck is taking over, and they're on a 4-match winning sequence. So it's pockets of when you get going, and you've just got to time your run to get into the playoffs and actually build Munster, build momentum there.
Yeah, I mean, isn't that what we spoke about? The difference between winning a World Cup, which is obviously hard because the margins are narrow with the best teams in the world, versus this club competition that is played over such a long duration, over multiple seasons of weather, to kind of keep the momentum, right? That's the trick, is to keep the fire going throughout the duration, despite the breaks, despite the compressed schedule, sometimes where you play games every weekend, despite the travel. It's a hell of a difficult competition to win this. And then to also be juggling, obviously, the Champions Cup or the Challenge Cup just makes it really, really tricky. And I think from a logistical point of view and a sort of human management point of view, it's a big challenge.
Yeah, and I mean, again, credit to the Lions for the way they came back. Dropped a game against Benetton they shouldn't have dropped.
Yeah.
Dropped games overseas they shouldn't have dropped. They weren't far off. Played against the Bulls side. Uckers' homecoming. They conceded 50. And you thought, well, I thought that's the end of them for the season now. They don't have the depth. They needed one big club, and that will kind of destroy that bravery that we always see from the Lions. And wow, they went back, thought about it. I saw Cash Van Rooyen, the coach, said we had to change our mindset. We had to change kind of our rugby intelligence.
Yeah.
And they street fighters, but with some great IQ, rugger IQ at 9 and 10 now. And I really like the way Horn plays at 15. He is a clever, clever footballer. Great acceleration. Very good boots on him. And just watching them, you just felt they were the top four team. You know, and the Stormers were a team kind of confused, lost, fighting for confidence as well. And you know better than anyone, the best players and the best teams in the world can lose confidence in 80 minutes and get it back in 60 minutes.
Yeah, that's true.
So we're looking at the Lions. And again, shout out to them, man, to the coaching staff, to Franco Horn, Paul Boys High, to Kruppies, just to that pack as a collective. It's just great for South African rugby to see them play like that and just hope that they can play like that against international teams. But in the national equation, not too many players have been in the mix. Kabakani, he wasn't even there. He's in the mix. Kruppies is in the mix. Horn's been in the mix. But then you look at that center pairing of Henker van Wyk and Bronson Mills, 21 and 24, just turned 24. I like that center combo. If you take the best of Kez and the best of Monument, you've got the best of the line.
Yeah, I mean, that's a great shot. I like them too. I mean, I think they bring an edge to that midfield battle. And that's not at the expense of any sort of skill level or athleticism. They're two guys that can jam with the best, but there's there is a rugged edge to them. There is a hard shoulder in both of those guys. Henko can run through brick walls, and Bronson looks like a guy who's not shy to crack his knuckles. So I think that's a nice edgy midfield and is exactly what they need there to complement that hardworking pack.
And the challenge now, no more South African derbies, no more Redmers for the Lions. It's now let's see you kick on and show that kind of form from the 21st onwards.
Yep.
In the URC, because that's the only competition they're in. Let them do the business, make a top eight. They've never been in the top eight because they're the kind of team that can go on the road and cause damage as well.
Yeah.
Because traditionally, they've actually traveled quite well. And when they have been beaten, there's seldom been a blowout with the Lions on the road.
Mm.
So big ups from us in the Cape for the Lions. Robbie Wessels, die Lulop. Doing it, man. It was great to see. And I mean, you just doff your hat to a team that played the way they did, dominated the first half. I think they only had to make 24 tackles in that first half, then were completely dominated in the last 40, down to 13 players, 35% of ball, 25% of possession in that last 15. You just got to applaud the Absolutely. Team that won like that, more so than necessarily bollocking the team that lost like that.
Totally.
Stormers know what they got to do to fix. Decision-making, accuracy, the miracle ball must be a miracle ball. The reason it's called a miracle ball because it happens occasionally, not it happens every time. And, you know, you're on the inside of that room. I'm on the outside looking in. You know, I would scream to everyone, simplicity is not a bad thing. Simplicity in playing the game. And sometimes doing the unsexy things actually reaps some good rewards. There's fortnight for 14 days for Darbo and the boys to think about it. Loftus is going to be monstrous. It's like a Curry Cup final every time those teams play. 33,000 were at Loftus for the Sharks game. Arcus has got them firing. It's North v South. I think it's going to be sold out. That's close to 50,000. Zales, you got your work cut out in the next 10 days. But just for South African rugby, to see the Bulls back, to see them firing under Akers, necessary and beautiful.
Yeah, but also great that we've got this, everybody's in contention now, right? So the Lions are the SA Shield champions. They're moving up the log. I think they're seventh on the standings. The Bulls are right behind them. The Sharks have shown signs of life under JP. They got two big wins against the Stormers. The Stormers started like a house on fire, best team in the URC. And there's every expectation that we bounce back to that shortly. It's great that it's not about, we have one South African team that is a contender in this competition. All four of these teams can switch on and do the business. And that's exciting. I mean, I'd love to see four South African teams in the playoffs. I think that'd be brilliant. And the capacity is there now. Whereas in the past, we were kind of hopeful that the Lions would be in the mix and, you know, cheering them on. But they weren't quite there. And then you had, you know, flaky periods for the Bulls and for the Sharks. So I think it's great for South African rugby that all four of these teams can switch on and get the job done on a Saturday. This past week, it was the Bulls and it was the Lions. And let's see what happens when these teams reconvene.
And you talk about having four strong South African teams. But the key there is that there's no freebies for the international team.
Spot on.
And that's when we were at our most successful in Super Rugby. It was because the Crusaders and the Brumbies and the like couldn't bank on three wins in South Africa or two wins and going home. It was like they had to pick one of the two to target because the potential was to lose both.
Yeah.
So it was, let's just try and get one win. And that's great going into the tail end of the competition. If we look at the Bulls game, Steko moment, Steko, our longtime original partner, and we're grateful to them. We're grateful to the family that's always backed us. A wonderful product, precision, sustainability, you name it, it's there. You go onto their website. But the Steko moment, we always reward to someone that has just done something powerful, something explosive, and something memorable. And you called it. When I looked at you, you just said, when it comes to the Steko power play, there's only going to be one person. And it came from Loftus.
Yeah, it had to come from Loftus. In a way, it was tricky to choose just one because there were lots of standout moments in that game. Imbros Papier had a huge game. Sebastian de Klerk had a huge game. But I thought the try of the week should go to Kanan Moody. That chase for that loose ball into the in-goal area for the try, where he was basically beaten into that space by two Sharks players who cancelled each other out. And then like something out of a comic or a cartoon, he was just left to fall on the ball and score an electric try. I thought that was the Steko power play.
Yeah, Kanan Moody, the magic. 2022, 19 years old, made his debut on the right, second youngest Springbok, on the right wing, Sydney 24-8. AFL leap into the air, caught it, went and scored. People forget how young he is. He's won a World Cup. He's way into double figures in terms of test appearances.
Yep.
He scored the greatest Springbok try at Twickenham against the All Blacks. It was never a try at 13. He idolized Donny Haber growing up. He wants to be a 13 like him. Just a wonderful footballer. He glides. And what I found about that, and Harold Forster, wow, he has turned back the clock in the last couple of weeks. Looking like he's 21 and playing with enthusiasm.
Indeed.
Wonderful break, offload. The chip was there, but the patience and the precision to go for it while everyone else, Edwell, I think, Yaku Williams was scrambling. Yes, the bounce of the rugby ball is indifferent, but Kanan Moody, our Steko player of the match.
I mean,
the Steko moment of the match.
The thing with Kanan is he's a bit like JP Peterson. You watch him on TV and he's so agile and sort of gifted athletically that you don't realize just how big a man he is. Like JP Peterson, you stand next to him in the elevator and look up, you can snap your neck because he's like a lock. I mean, he's properly tall. And Kanan Moody's the same. He surprises you with just how tall he is because he's so agile and fluid as an athlete. So amazing athletes, great speed, great skill, but also physically imposing.
So well done, Kanan. And you keep on doing that for us. We'll speak to the big guys at Steko and maybe send some nice product your way as well. Looking at that Bulls, you had to analyze them for the two matches that you're playing against them and the one you played against them in Cape Town, 13-8, it came down to the last 2-3 minutes, a driving wall from the Stormers that actually worked. You don't have to say that. Sorry, Rito. What has fundamentally changed then?
Mates, yeah. So you and I had multiple episodes where we said, somebody buy the Bulls some defense. These guys can't defend. There are holes everywhere. Teams are running through them. And that's flipped completely now. The Bulls' defense is large and in charge. Since the sort of beginning of this season, or sorry, the beginning of this year, since 2026, the dawn of the year, they've got the best defense in the URC, basically, and they are gunning it. And I think a lot of that has got to do with their kicking game, massive high-volume kicking game at the weekend against the Sharks, completely dominated the sky and the territory. And those two things go hand in hand. When you kick well and you can defend, then you can control where the game is played. And so your defense is not in positions where you're playing a lot of rugby, making a mistake and having to scramble to mop it up. You're always on the front foot. You're going downhill and you can see your targets in front of you. So I think the Bulls have got that balance right now. I think their kicking game and defense is feeding their attack and their attack is profiting from that quality possession. So they're in a very good space.
If you look into the coach's box and you see Akers, with Neil DeBrain, Swayze's son, who did very well at Paul Boys High. He was director of rugby there. Kennedy on his left.
Kennedy, two-teeth Simba. Love Kennedy.
And a few other guys. There's a joy. It's like watching, it's like going back and watching Akers and Swayze DeBrain when the Lions made it to three
totally.
Super Rugby finals.
Yeah, yeah.
There's an enthusiasm and it's reflected by the players. Now, I was there. Wonderful, wonderful hospitality, thanks to Clinton van der Berg and the Bulls.
Yeah.
When they lost to Bordeaux in the Investec Champions Cup, when they shipped so many points in the second half, had scored 33 at halftime, but their defense was non-existent. And Bordeaux went on to score 46 points. And Akers was, I think, ended up having like a one-on-one with him. He was just at a loss to understand how these quality players seem to have such a disregard for the moment when they don't for the box. And you're speaking about culture. And the only way we can fix it is internally, him speaking. Stay with us. Honestly, we'll get it right, he kept on saying. It doesn't seem like it now. And they took another big one the week after that. It's like, are they going to get it right? And they obviously went over, they beat Power, beat Edinburgh, and they've come back, Lions and now Stormers. Big thing for me was when he got his own assistants in. And that's not a slight on Andries Becker or Chris Rousseau, who'd been under Jake's command for best part of 5 years. But what I love the most about Saturday, outside of the result, obviously, was at 36-12, they were scrambling on defense. Now, this Bulls team 2 months ago wasn't scrambling on defense at 0-0. They were 36-12 up, and Andre Pollard was leading it. This guy's won 2 World Cups. He's done everything. He was high-fiving, making the cover defense at 36-12. And when your big-name player like Pollard at 10, and people forget he actually played very well on the weekend because for the first time ever, I think he kicked 1 from 5. His radar was off. It's like you've never seen it, him kicking at 25%. But when a guy like that, when Vili Leroux's coming off the bench and he's screaming and going, and you're 36-12 up and you end up winning at 41-12, that tells you that something has changed fundamentally within that side.
No, something has changed fundamentally in that side. At the top of this, I said Kennedy, two-teeth Simba, because I always remember that Cheetahs game where he got his teeth knocked out on TV. You could see his teeth flying across the screen. Huge Kennedy Simba fan when he was a player. The Bulls have got something right. They talk about culture. I'm not sure. Maybe I'm just old school. I don't think it's got to do with culture. I think, I mean, maybe you can attribute this to culture, but I think the reason that players play at their best for Rusty Rasmus is because if they don't, he drops it. And he sends them home and he doesn't play them and they're out the mix. And I think Akers showed that he's got the balls to do exactly the same thing. You saw Mpilo Gamedi get lots of game time recently for the Bulls. You've seen Vili Leroux play off the bench this week. And I'm not saying that he's benched frontline players or that he's had an issue with frontline players. I'm just saying he's shown the willingness to back guys that weren't always necessarily first stringers. David Creel at fullback is an interesting decision. He's shown the players that he's willing to invest time and faith in other guys, not just the main oak. So just because you're Andre Pollard doesn't mean you're going to start for the Bulls. And I think that definitely lights a fire under everyone's arse, whether you are the starting player who doesn't want to lose his gig or you're the third stringer who thinks you're out of the mix, suddenly you're back in the mix because just with diligence, effort, commitment, you could be selected. So I think that plays a huge part in turning a team around that's been through a slump like that, especially when you have headline players in the mix who you feel like they're not performing.
But even if you look at it, he's made 3 foot into 2. Sebastian de Klerk will ship you to the right wing. Kurt Lawrence, the left wing. Kane Moody, you go in at 13. He's given Embres Papi the confidence, you are my one, and you will play as my number one. Where a season ago, it's like, then he's playing 20 minutes, then he's not playing, then he's played against certain opposition. And then just the way he rotated the pack, Nizam Carr looked like the guy who was skinning it for Province and the Stormers.
What a player.
You know, Jandre Rudolph has been outstanding. He benched him for this one. He came on for a HIA, made a turnover straight away. Didn't matter. Status quo, Nizam Carr back on the field. He played him for as long as he could. The guy looked great. You see, Marcel Couture, we know what we're getting out of him. Renok here is just the unsung hero for me. He's just getting better and better. And you just look at the way they played. As a collective, individuals were there, but as a collective, throwing themselves around. And I just thought it was a fabulous performance. When I saw that Sharks lineup, I knew they would be in trouble. As JP says, one foot forward and three back. Andre the Giant was outstanding when he did get the ball. He keeps three people busy. But his pack was beaten on the day. And then my personal highlight, the moment it seemed like there was a little bit of confusion, vulnerability in the Bulls pack, and the Sharks had scored two tries early in the second half. I think it was 22-12. You just heard the roar. You heard it in Worcester. We heard it here. We heard the rumble. And I just knew that Wilco Lowe got up off his chair. He went onto the field, stabilized the first
Loftus
scrum.
Loftus actually tilted back to be there.
It went like all the way to Centurion, I think. And he stabilized the first one on the Sharks putting and the second one on the Bulls. Penalty time. Job done for Wilco. Wow, the luxury to have that guy coming off the bench on 55 minutes. And they could hold him back till 55. But all around, a fabulous, fabulous result for the Bulls in the context of the competition because they had to win it at home. The Sharks got a lot to do now to make that top eight. But brilliant for the Bulls, given that they are still in the Investec Champions Cup. They're a side that will travel to North. Where do they go? North quarterfinal? They go to Glasgow, okay? And they can win there in the Investec Champions Cup quarterfinal. They can win anywhere.
Mate, relax.
Put me back in the cage.
Mate, you didn't mention Aluluto Chakwene, the loose head prop from the Bulls. I'm always going to mention this like every opportunity I get. I think he's a really, really good player. Unheralded, a hitman on defense. And I can see why Aka started him. So you mentioned how those frontline guys held the line until Wilco came on. Chakwene, I think, is one to watch.
Remind me that I'm a... Just remind me that I'm a Stormers guy still, okay? And hey, still 8 from 11 wins, 5th on the table. We haven't forsaken
It's sportsmanship, mate. We're letting everyone else catch up.
I love to see the Bulls on the charge, Lions doing the Lulup, and the Sharks showing that when they do put it together, they're good enough to knock over anyone, even the Stormers. But if we look, and I've gone onto SA Rugby Magazine, if my computer will hold out here, and looking at the state of the nation on the log, and we see that the Stormers are 5th now.
That's right.
But there is jeopardy that they played around while there was that extended Six Nations and going into the break because Leinster couldn't pick 17 of their players. Glasgow couldn't pick 15 of their players. Leinster losing 8-7 to Cardiff away from home. Glasgow losing in the last minute in Galway against Connacht. The win must have been bad. 5 tries, no conversions. 15-10.
Yeah.
At one stage, I thought Zebra at 7 all were going to do the business in Munster.
What a weekend.
So it was a great weekend. And for the Stormers as well, the one saving grace is top teams also drop points.
Spot on. Yeah, that seems to be a recurring thing when the Stormers don't get it right. It's other teams seem to hit a speed bump at the same time. And it's worth remembering that the Stormers and the Bulls and Ulster and Connacht have games in hand or a game in hand. So assuming the Stormers get the 5 points at the Bulls, they could jump as high as second place, I think. And for the Bulls, obviously also an opportunity to move up the table. So interesting times ahead. These derbies are going to be decisive.
Yeah, 36 points where they've been for a while. I mean, you think 36 out of a possible 40 was just an incredible effort from the Stormers. And that's a 5, that's getting the 5 points. 0 from 15, that will hurt them. There was nothing that they got out of those 3 games. But another 5-pointer takes them up to 41, second place again.
Yeah.
And they've got the Dragons that following Sunday at home, a game you'd expect them to win. And then that kind of mid-season wobble is out the way and they're into the playoffs. So if you're from Cape Town, be disappointed, but don't be dejected.
Correct.
And also don't be pissed off. Read a wonder, and you know, forget these apologies that Darbo and the players give you. They know that they could be better. The only apology they'll give is when they go out and they perform better on the field. Wonderful. Gavin Ridge sent me the Sunday Times piece written by David Walsh on James Haskell and Mike Tindall talking about everyone apologizing. Ellis Ginn's apologizing for the defeat. He says, players don't apologize because no player goes to lose on purpose.
Mm-hmm.
And let's stop these public apologies to make fans feel better. And if a fan's feeling bad, go see a therapist. That's what Haskell said. And when he was told that England, the last 20 years have been a waste, he said they weren't. We won 4 Grand Slams. We went to 2 World Cup finals. This hasn't been a waste. We've had some great times at players. No player drops a ball, misses a score, fluffs a penalty because they want to in front of 50,000 and millions watching.
Yeah.
It just happens. So cut them some slack as well. If anyone's going to be hard on the Stormers this week, it's going to be the Stormers. If anyone's going to be hard on themselves, it's going to be the Sharks. And You know, it's like, just know we're in a good state in South African rugby. We've managed to preserve the scrum. Thanks to South Africa and France, we kind of put our heads together.
Brilliant.
And we kept Thank Rugby goodness. League and the Bledisloe Cup out of World Rugby. The Thank scrum goodness. Stays and the line-out stays. What
there
do you
we
think
go.
Of that?
No, that's the way it should be, mate. That is the way it should be. That was a very great development. And let's hope that the pushback continues and it gets even better. So very good news for all the everybody out there who plays rugby with their BMI in the high 50s. Fantastic news.
If you look at the South African players, it's the National Alignment Camp this week, 3 till 6th of March. There's the awards this Thursday, the National Awards. Coaches of the Year, Players of the Year, great recognition, men's and women's game. I did a piece on Marcus Miller. Great call-up for me for the alignment camp. It's not if he plays South Africa. For me, it's when he plays South Africa. And Riley Norton. That guy just keeps on getting better. He could have chosen cricket, the IPL. He could have been a very rich player today. But he's going to be a very happy player that he chose rugby. They're in your mix, in the Stormers mix. They're in that alignment camp. What do you see coming out of the alignment camp, Zalzi? And what do you see coming out of the Six Nations?
Okay, so Six Nations will be decided this weekend when France beats Scotland. I think that's probably going to happen. In the alignment camp, I think it's a lot of this is meet and greets and a bit of refresher course on what we're trying to do. Maybe a few wrinkles, giving a heads up about some changes or some tweaks to the plan. But I don't think anything really detailed maybe in these alignment camps. I think that we've got a wealth of players, mate. The fact that South African rugby is flying high has really brought the best out of everybody. Everybody wants to be involved. We've got a mix of great youngsters coming through, guys putting their hands up from the great job that the under-20s are doing. And then we've got some sort of journeyman guys who are raising their hands as well. A guy like Sebastian de Klerk, you'd think is, if not in the mix, definitely somebody Rusty's got his eye on. And then you've got the stalwarts who've, you know, won two World Cups. So we've got more players than we could possibly field. And everybody's motivated to be there and sort of wear the green jersey. So we're in a healthy space.
Right. And those 49 players, those playing overseas, they're not part of that. There's an overseas one that Rusty and these coaches do with them. Jesse Krill, he's in the news every week for the right reasons, leading a team in Japan, scoring tries, looking great. Dylan Leitz, he's still playing for La Rochelle, using the South African flag. If you do go down to SA Rugby, I mean, go down and click and go on it. SA Rugby Magazine, Borchin, and they put together that wonderful Monday wrap where it tells you what South African players are doing. Doesn't matter what league they're playing in.
Yep.
And the top 14, Six Nations or not, they just keep on going. Okay? And I see Jeremy Ward got a try for Stade. Tristan Teda and James Hall, they were playing for Perpignan. Notche. They were playing for Montbarn, but they lost 68-13 to Toulouse. It doesn't matter what team Toulouse puts out there. Yep. Or Yankees, he came off the bench for Bayonne. They also weren't successful. And obviously, Jasper Visser started on the flank, so he's playing. He's in form. Franco Mostert's always there, captain the Heat. Backing down alongside prop Matthijs Bosson, Basson, Lock Yaku Swanepoel, David Kellerman at centre. He scored a first off try. And then the Wild Knights, Damien Delandy, Oki Barnard, and John Wilson were there. Jesse Creel scored a try. And then Madova Olufi, David Bullring, and Tyler Paul, they started in the pack for Kibuta. Rikus Pretorius in the midfield. Lukanya Am. Remember that guy?
Oh, yes, I do.
One of our World Cup heroes?
Yep.
Well, he ran out for the Mitsubishi Dynaboars. And they lost 31-29 to guess who? Toyota for Blitz, coached by Steve Hansen and Ian Foster.
They finally got a win,
they
mate.
They finally got a win. And Skalky Rasmus, and he's a hooker, and Locke Lawrence Rasmus, they featured for the Blitz. And then Quacha, no Japanese rap. He's complete without him. He captained the Blue Revs. They lost 57-24, unfortunately. Sylvian Mahusa, he came off the bench for the Blue Revs. There's lots going on in Japan. There lots is, going mate. On in the top 14.
You mentioned France. You mentioned Toulouse. We had a couple of their coaches down at the Stormers last week, mate. And I can tell you, first-hand experience, that Toulouse joke doesn't land with those guys. If you go, hey, you guys played Toulouse, they don't laugh.
Oh, they don't get that.
That's not
one.
Funny. Okay.
How is the English?
The English was actually good, mate. The one bloke doesn't speak English, but
his was the best.
The other two. Yeah.
And how was it? I mean, was it
great.
A good cultural exchange of
great.
Ideas?
Yeah, great, great. Interesting guys. Toulouse have got their own sort of unique plan that they play, and interesting to see how they look at the game. But yeah, great, great guys.
And tell me a bit about, I know Dobbo brought in an AFL specialist.
Yeah.
Just to look at the aerial game. Mm. kick, receive, kind of just philosophy around that.
Mm.
How did the guys find that?
I think they enjoyed it. Stevie Morris played Aussie rules for a long time. His position was back pocket. You can go read up on that to see, like a defensive position. And he had some great ideas around, the high ball and how to get organized around the high ball. Obviously, it's a different setup to Aussie rules in terms of the way the game flows sort of up and downfield, where Aussie rules is a little bit more open. But yeah, he's great ideas, great bloke, and very sort of analytical around it. So I think Gareth Wright, the kicking coach of the Storm, has picked his brain a bit, came up with some cool stuff, and we're hoping to see that application help us going forward.
And then just tell me, any truth to the Jamaican bobsleigh team pulling in this weekend, I'm honest, with the team?
We're just waiting for the temperature to drop, mate. Winter's on the way, and the Olympic bobsleigh team from Jamaica, will be having them over for a few tips as well.
Okay, that's fantastic. And then the other thing I'd like to see at the Stormers training session is just some logic and common sense applied to catch, pass, tackle, and don't overthink everything.
We're all over it, mate.
I know you're all over it. You guys are off for this week, off in a way. It's the Bulls next weekend. We won't be here on a full show on Thursday, but Zals and I will be giving you our predictions in terms of the Six Nations. We'll be giving you a bit of a wrap on Monday next week from the awards that happen. But if you want to win or be in with a chance to win 100,000 Rand, go on to SA Rugby Magazine, register your details. You go into that draw. That winner gets announced on the 1st of July, just before the international season starts with the Nations Championship. And then we go into the greatest rivalry tour. The greatest rivalry tour against the All Blacks. It's not looking good in New Zealand rugby, Zels, because even the Wallabies are looking good, because the Brumbies are beating everyone in Super Rugby Pacific. And the Australian teams are beating the New Zealand team.
Mate, that's what makes the Kiwis dangerous, isn't it? They come here with no fanfare, down in the dumps, fired their coach, Super Rugby teams are nowhere. And then whap. And deliver some surprise results. Maybe we lost to these guys at Eden Park a couple of months ago.
But you know what? They do have try of the century 5 times a game because no one tackles in Super. Would you say that's fair or not?
Oh, mate, yes, I would say that probably is fair. But listen, I remember when we played in Super Rugby and the Poms would make that claim and say, oh, they're just being ridiculous. This is not basketball. This is great rugby. So maybe we should just reserve judgment till we see how that translates to the test arena.
And for all our bravado, for all our hoo-ha, as Zal says, let's remember, not just 43-10, but 24-17 a week before that, when we went to Eden Park, confident that there was no way those guys who play touch rugby in Super Rugby Pacific could beat the Springboks, and we lost. And even worse was when the touch rugby specialist arrived in Johannesburg and gave us a touch rugby exhibition, and we thought we were touch rugby specialists. And we conceded 38 unanswered points, having led 22-0. So that is how we keep on reminding ourselves, keep on anchoring ourselves to know we're healthy, but any team is beatable. As the Lions showed against the Stormers, as the Bulls showed against the Sharks, that even the Sharks and the Stormers can lose a game.